Ryan McConaughey, regular seat 2, firefighter, rescue, and EMT. Karen Ree, alternate seat 1, law enforcement. Matt Montgomery, alternate seat 4, CPA, finance. Stephen Wolf, alternate seat 2, public relations, HR. And then the last one I penciled in. That would be regular seat 4, CPA, finance, Ms. Sarith Evans. Did I miss that?
Wait, no. I think she's alternate to seat 4. She's the alternate to Matt Montgomery.
Oh, okay.
I think.
I'll scratch that one, alternate.
Good. We got him? Okay. All right. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Congratulations. Thank you to the people who have agreed to serve. Thank you so much. Now we are up to the planning board, and Ms. Turbano, our town clerk, will be presenting.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. The planning board consists of 7 seats. The terms for regular seat 1, presently held by Marco Beck, regular seat 2, presently held by Joseph Young, regular seat 5, presently held by John Carney, alternate seat 1, presently held by Soraya Vanderbeek, and alternate seat 2 is still currently vacant. All board member seats mentioned will expire on December 31st, 2025. Staff has received 5 applications to the board, including 2 new applicants. The new applicants are Pete Breen and Jean McDonald, and all have met council's requirements for eligibility as set forth in Resolution 2025-06. Ms. Vanderbeek has informed that she will not be reapplying at this time to the board. Appointments to the board are at council's discretion, but staff is available should you have any question. Some of the applicants are also in attendance today should you have any questions for them.
Thank you so much. So the applicants, would any of you like to come up and speak? Peter?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members. I'm Peter Breen, 4650 Lynx Village Drive. Moved to Ponsonlet 2 years ago, fell in love with the town. Really looking forward to working on this committee to make it the enclave that we all chose to reside in. I really enjoy the town a lot. I'm married to the same girl for 37 years, proud dad of 2 boys, 2 great daughter-in-laws, and became a grandfather in January to little Emmy Marie. And thank you to the veterans here. I also had the privilege of wearing the uniform. I was a peacetime infantry officer and a paratrooper in the Army, and 27 jumps under my belt, and loved every one of them. But very excited to work with this team and be part of this committee. So thank you. And special thanks to our mayor and to Skip, who were the ones who kind of dragged me over the finish line here to throw my hat in the ring. So much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Jean McDonald?
Good afternoon, everyone. Mayor, council members, and community members. My name is Jean McDonald, and I'm honored to be here today to express my interest in serving for the planning board. I moved to Ponce Inlet in December 2024 and established permanent residency. And having served on many boards in New Jersey, I would like to continue to lend my experience in wherever I'm needed. I share a strong commitment to the town's character and the quality of life, and I believe thoughtful planning is essential to what makes the community special. Thank you very much for your consideration.
And thank you very much for your application. I appreciate that. Is there anyone else here, I don't know, who wants to speak? Okay. So, I'll entertain a motion. It can be individual, it could be a slate.
I'll go for it again. I'll make a motion to appoint the following to the planning board. Alternate seat number 1, Peter Breen. Seat 2, Joseph Young. Seat 5, John Carney. Seat 1, Mark O'Beck. And seat 2, Ms. Jean McDonald.
Alternate seat 2.
Alternate seat, I'm sorry.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Congratulations and thank you very much for those sitting on the planning board. And we look forward to all of your work. Now, we are going to move on item 9. There are no quasi-judicial matters. Item 10, we have under A, second reading of ordinance number 2025-08, amendment to the land use and development code. I'm going to ask our attorney to read this ordinance by title only.
Ordinance number 2025-08, an ordinance of the town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, amending the Land Use and Development Code, Article 3, Use Regulations, Section 3.20, Farmers Markets, providing for codification, providing for severability, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Ms. Rippey?
Mayor, there are no changes to the ordinance, so unless you have any questions.
Okay, so this, we had a full presentation at a prior meeting. Does anyone have any questions?
No,
ma'am.
No questions. Anybody in the audience have any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll entertain a motion on this ordinance second reading.
I will make a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed ordinance 2025-08. Amending the LUDC Section 3.20, Farmers Market, and incorporating the revisions recommended by the Planning Board.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you to the Planning Department. Now we're at 11A, Ordinance 2025-18. This is the first reading. Notice of intent to use uniform method of collecting non-ad valorem assessment for a stormwater utility. I would ask our attorney to read by title only.
Okay, please bear with me. Resolution number 2025-18, notice of intent to use uniform method of collecting non-ad valorem assessments for a stormwater utility. A resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, expressing its intent to use the method for the levy, collection, and enforcement of non-ad valorem assessment provided for in Chapter 197, Florida Statute, Section 197.3632, for a stormwater utility fee to be levied for operation and maintenance of the town's stormwater conveyance system and capital projects related to stormwater drainage and resiliency, providing that the non-ad valorem assessment shall be included in the combined notice for ad valorem taxes and non-ad valorem assessments provided in Chapter 197, Florida Statutes, Section 197.3635, providing that the non-ad valorem assessment shall be collected in the same manner as ad valorem taxes, providing that this non-ad valorem assessment is needed in order to maintain stormwater drainage systems that service the town of Ponce Inlet, and to fund additional capital improvement projects to be determined by the town council related to stormwater drainage and resiliency, providing for the legal description of the corporate limits of the town of Ponce Inlet, which shall be subject to the non-ad valorem levy, providing that the public hearing on this resolution was duly advertised, providing that the clerk of the town of Ponce Inlet shall mail certified copies of this resolution, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. This is, just to clarify, this is a resolution, so it's not a first and second reading. It's just one reading to adopt this. This resolution builds on our discussion last month in which the Town Council authorized our consultants to begin this process to create the stormwater utility fee. Part of that and this first step is to signify the town's intent to adopt this non-ad valorem collection method. And just to make sure everyone understands, no rate has been set. I mean, this is just the very beginning. This process is dictated by state law in which it says the town has, or the local government has, to notify and signify its intent to adopt it in the year before the fee is actually adopted. So that's why we're here today doing this, because we have a January 1st deadline to make this first step in this process. So all this does, again, is it signifies an intent. What you have in your council packet is a tentative schedule of how the fee itself will be developed. And that's going to follow essentially the same timeline as our budget process. So the consultant, we just had our kickoff meeting with them yesterday. They're going to start working on the data and analysis based on the rate of impervious surface area for properties in Ponce Inlet. They're going to work to develop credits for those properties that already have and maintain their own private roads or stormwater systems. And then it's going to follow into opportunities for public comment. Once that's done, that'll be at our Essential Services Advisory Board and then ultimately here back to the Town Council. And just like the council approves a tentative millage rate, this will also come before the council to approve that rate. And from there, it gets sent out to the property appraiser, tax collector, et cetera, and then gets adopted by no later than September 15th, and then it takes effect on October 1st. So we're just at the very beginning of this process, but this is the first step as dictated by state. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you so much. Does anyone have any questions of Mike on this?
Just one quick one. So, Michael, based on the schedule, this would potentially be on your tax bill 2027, basically?
Yes. Well, it would show up. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I need. Thank you, Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Gary, anything? Anyone in the public have any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll take a motion on the resolution.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 2025-18 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you. Now at 11B. Resolution 2025-19, electing not to grant ad valorem tax exemptions to certain properties under the Live Local Act for affordable housing. Patrick, could you read this by title only, please?
Yes, ma'am. Resolution number 2025-19, a resolution of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Florida, declaring a contingent determination pursuant to Section 196.1978, sub 3, sub O, Florida statutes based on the 2025 Schimberg Center for Housing Studies annual report, electing not to grant ad valorem tax exemptions to certain properties under the Live Local Act, subject to said determination, providing for the preservation of existing exemptions, establishing a contingent effective date, and providing for severability and expiration.
Thank you. Mr. Lear, our Planning and Development Director will provide the report to us.
Good afternoon, Council. If you remember, we did this about the same time last year. So with this item, the Live Local Act, or Senate Bill 102, was signed into law by Governor DeSantis on March 29th of 2023 with the goal of expanding affordable housing options. Later on, House Bill 7073 was passed during the 2024 session, which grants taxing authorities the option to opt out of offering the property tax exemption for housing developments within their jurisdiction that falls between 80 and 120% of the area median income range. House Bill 7073 also mandates that the taxing authorities must opt out through a resolution or ordinance before January 1st of each year. The latest Schimberg report was issued in December of 2024, and it confirms a surplus of affordable housing units in the Deltona, Daytona Beach, Ormond Beach metropolitan statistical area. And we're still waiting on an updated version of that Schimberg report. It's supposed to be coming out sometime this month. However, the January 1st, 2026 deadline outlined in House Bill 7073 necessitates the submission of this resolution to the Volusia County Property Appraiser at this time. The proposed resolution, therefore, is contingent upon the new 2025 report. If the Schimberg report indicates that the Volusia MSA exceeds the specific threshold, the resolution will take effect. If the threshold is not met, the resolution will not take effect. And with that, staff recommends approval.
Thank you so much. Does anyone have any questions on this? We went over it last year pretty significantly. No questions. Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, we'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion. Make a motion to approve resolution 2025-19 as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Darren. We have no old business. Under 13A, we have a discussion and update on South Atlantic Crosswalk safety enhancements. Chief Glazier.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. Jeff Glazier, Ponce Inlet Police Department. Before I begin my presentation, I did just want to tell everyone about the sign that I brought with me here today, which is a slow your roll sign, 10 miles per hour on our sidewalks. I know council has received several complaints from our residents, and so we try to think of a way to kind of refresh our message. We have those stagnant signs that are posted around town that has the sidewalk speed limit on it. But in addition to our enforcement, I thought, hey, how can I refresh the message? And so we came up with these signs. We're going to move them around town. Currently, they're on South Atlantic. We'll move them over to South Peninsula, and then we'll move them back. And we'll just move them around town to help our residents and our visitors understand what the speed limit is for their town sidewalks. In addition, over the last several weeks, my officers have increased their enforcement. And at the end of the month, I'll have some stats to provide to the council on what they're doing. But I just wanted to let you know that's why those signs are there. I know anytime there's new signs in town, residents always have any questions, and this has actually created a little bit of buzz, so I think they're working. So that's what they're there for.
A positive buzz. It really is. People appreciate it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. So in terms of the report today, the good news is I'm not looking for any votes. We're not voting on anything. There's no letters of recommendation. This is simply an update on where we are with our crosswalk safety. The attachments that I've provided is really just kind of a walk down memory lane to show you how we got where we are. And one of the first attachments is some statistics from Best Foot Forward. Best Foot Forward is a campaign out of Bike Walk Central Florida. And I connected our police department with them over a year ago. And it's really been enlightening. I mean, besides crime and criminals and hurricanes, one thing that I really worry about is our pedestrian safety, and especially with our older residents. And once you connect with Best Foot Forward and you see the statistics of the injuries and the fatalities of pedestrians in Florida, and especially in Central Florida, it's very alarming. And so being connected with them gets you to understand better some of those numbers, then you understand the enforcement, the education, and the engineering that's necessary at our crosswalks and our intersections in order to keep people safer. So Best Foot Forward has been a great resource for us, and it's one of the reasons why we started our crosswalk safety details, where my officers dress undercover like a tourist. We cross back and forth, and then I have officers on each side of the crosswalks going after people that come too close to us as we're crossing and don't yield to us, and then we write our citations. So also in the attachment is a study by Volusia County that was done back in 2022. And the reason I included that is because I wanted to show that, and also the meeting minutes with that, to show that at the end of that presentation, there really was no appetite from this council to do any of the things that were recommended. I know Councilmember Milano's not here today, but he was very clear that his constituents were not interested in one of the main recommendations, which is what they call a lane diet. And that's where you take four lanes of South Atlantic down to two in order to create that little safety barrier. You have refuge islands in the middle for the pedestrians, and there was really no appetite for that. At the end of that meeting, council said, see if you can get together with the residents and see what the residents want. Well, we went back to the consultants, and they said we can put together storyboards and we can put together models, and we'll be there to answer questions over several days, and it'll be around $10,000. And it was the end of the budget cycle. There was no money for that, and I think everything just kind of died on the vine at that point. So that's kind of how we get to this point. But in the meantime, I think you've heard over the last several months, we've had residents come up to the podium and talk about the safety on the South Atlantic. And I hear them, and I just want to let them know that what we're doing about it. So this is what we're talking about. If you look at the presentation, we're only talking about three crosswalks, but this is the highest pedestrian corridor in Ponce Inlet Corridor. So you have the North Crosswalk, which is Winter Haven Parking Lot. You have the Middle Crosswalk, which is Harbor Village at South Atlantic, Harbor Village Boulevard. And then you have the South Crosswalk, which is the Harbor Village Beach Club. And clearly, from all the residents at the Links and Harbor Village and the 7-Eleven and the stores and going back to the beach from Winter Haven, this is our highest pedestrian volume. So this is the corridor that we're talking about. Now, if you look at the study recommended this. They said, listen, we want to give you guys a lane diet. We want to bring it from four lanes to two. We're going to give you a pedestrian hybrid beacon, which goes from yellow to red. We'll have pedestrian refuge islands, and this is what it will look like. And as I said, there was no appetite for that, and so this simply didn't go anywhere. So now here's where we're at. So we're looking at our northbound, the northernmost crosswalk. This is Winter Haven. And if you look at, you know, this is what they were proposing, and this is what we're looking at. It's very unremarkable. You know, when you come to these crosswalks, what you learn is it should really be an event that's unfolding before you. It should look like a Christmas tree, right? And this simply doesn't. We have light gray pavement and light white paint, and it's just unremarkable. And if you're not paying attention and the sun's shining, you really don't even know it's there. As we travel southbound into the middle crosswalk, this is Harbor Village. An additional challenge is we have five lanes now instead of four, right? So you had four lanes at Winter Haven. Now we're up to five because we have a turning lane from South Atlantic onto Harbor Village. So even more dangerous. Again, light gray pavement. You have a white paint that is being blown away by the sand and the salty air. In addition, you have a yellow high visibility paddle in the middle lane, which isn't even at the intersection. Right, it's south of the intersection. Now, if we go even to the third crosswalk at the Harbor Village Beach Club, this is probably our safest crosswalk. We're back down to two lanes. Volusia County did install some LED lighted signs at the crosswalk. And so probably our safest sign, but again, unremarkable compared to the technology and the signage that's available today. So what can we do? Well, so I reached back out to the traffic engineers from Volusia County. The challenge we have is they did have some turnover there, so now I'm working with all new people. But they were very responsive. I called them on a Wednesday. On a Thursday, they were out here walking the sites with me. So we started at the northbound, and we walked all the way down to Harbor Village Beach Club, and we looked at the different things that we could do. My one request was, listen, why can't we put the what are called RRFBs, which is what we have at the north turn? Right, which is a rectangular rapid flashing beacon. It stays dark until it's pressed by the pedestrians, and then it'll give that rapid flashing back and forth. And what they told me was, because you have four lanes of traffic and you don't have two, traffic engineers are very hesitant to put these in, which is the reason when the study came back, they said, we want to give you a lane diet. They think it's a false sense of security for the pedestrians. You know, my reasoning is something's better than nothing, but they were very hesitant to do that if we didn't do the lane diet and put a pedestrian refuge island in the middle. So I said, all right, well, then let's do this. I said, can we repaint, restripe, and repave the entire area? Can we put up high visibility signs? Can we put up the pedestrian paddles? And they said yes. They think they can do that. As we go to the next intersection, the biggest intersection, the five lane, you know, I was looking at it and I said, well, if we simply move the crosswalk to the south side of the intersection, then we're back down to four lanes instead of five. I said, that immediately makes it safer, and it's a very simple fix. And they agreed with me. They weren't sure why it was placed on the north side of the intersection to begin with. So we move the crosswalk to the south side. It makes a lot of sense for the Harbor Village and the Lynx Village residents, because now they're simply walking on that side of the road and they cross the street. Again, we add the pedestrian paddles, the high visibility signs, we repave it with the blacktop, we remark it and repaint it and create kind of a Christmas tree effect when you come to that intersection. And then as we go south, we have what is probably the safest crosswalk, but still unremarkable. So we looked at it, and I said, well, guys, listen, we're back down to two lanes and not four. Why can't we put an RRFB? And they said, we can. And the great thing is we already have the infrastructure there. You have the sign, I'm sorry, you have the poles, you have the power. They just have to replace the LEDs with the RRFBs, with those flashing lights. And they agreed that that could be done. I tried several times this week to get a cost estimate for council. They just didn't have one ready. So as soon as that is given to me, then I'll be able to give it to Mike and to all of you. And again, these are the RRFBs that they can put in on the farthest crosswalk because it's two lanes and not four. So adding the paint, the signs, the paddles, and I think we can make it a much safer intersection than it already is. So that's, you know, that's just a quick update. I just want to let the citizens know that certainly haven't forgotten about them. It's one of my biggest priorities. I do worry about our elderly residents as they're crossing the road. You know, the ocean is such a draw. And, you know, I could stand here and brag and say, listen, I've been here 6 years. You know, we haven't had any accidents. But what I can't tell you is how many near misses that we've had. And I can't tell you how many almost tragedies that we've had because we simply don't keep those numbers. And I'm sure we've had some. And we're trying to avoid those. And that's why I'm trying to kind of create an urgency with the Volusia County Traffic Engineers. Get a, and this is a short term. I mean, these are short term solutions. I think long term are going to be some type of system that actually stops vehicles. But I'm hoping that these are impactful, inexpensive, and we can get them done fairly quickly.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. So this is an update for us. We're very appreciative. We know you're still working on this. Does anyone have any questions of the chief for clarification? Yes.
Two questions, actually. I've seen the lights that are in the pavement that Daytona Beach Shores has up there. And that's my first question. Are they applicable to a residential area, or are they only used in the commercial areas? And the second question is, what cooperation, money-wise or help, do we get from the county since it's actually their road? All we do is patrol it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So, yes, those lights are applicable to both commercial and residential properties. The challenge being, are we willing to put in a refuge island? Are we willing to do a lane diet? Or are the traffic engineers willing to put those on a four- or five-lane crosswalk? That I don't know. I'd have to talk to them. In terms of the pricing, you know, I can't speak for Volusia County, but if you look at the previous report, they were actually willing to put in a lot of the money. They actually, I believe, for the crosswalks at North Turn, the signs, the RRFBs, and the LED lights at Harbor Village Beach Club, I believe that was a 50-50 split, and I'd have to go back and look at that. So they are willing to come to the board with some funds. And you're exactly right. It is their road, and they've been very cooperative. Even though there's been a turnover there, they've been very responsive to me and my requests. Now we just have to get it done.
Thank you. Yes, Skip.
Gary actually got both of my questions, so thank you. Mm-hmm. But again, I will come up with one more. So if you go back to the slide where we had to have an island, and then we had the light that's above it right here. Mm-hmm. So are they saying we can't, or they won't help us install the pedestrian crosswalk that had the flashing lights at the top, the poles that go over the top? Are they saying we can't do that because it's a four lane?
No, they didn't say that. So that's different. So that's what they call a pedestrian hybrid beacon. That's when you press the button, it flashes yellow to let cars know something's happening, and then it goes to red. Mm-hmm. So the cars literally have to stop. The cost for those is anywhere between $150,000 to $350,000.
Okay.
So when I was looking at short-term, inexpensive, impactful solutions, that came up, but it kind of went away quickly because I said, hey, what can we do today
right
to make my pedestrians safer? I do believe that's an option. Whether or not you can put it in a four-lane without a pedestrian refuge, I don't know.
But again, I mean, if we can help get some funding from the county, even though aesthetically it's not real pretty, but if it saves a life, it's worth aesthetics. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see us pursue that if we can long term.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I know that some people in the audience wanted to speak. Mr. Hines, did you want to come on up here? Yeah, Tony.
Tony Hines, 4621 South Atlantic Avenue. Just to not kick the county too hard, I brought it up to Matt. I'm not sure in what. They redid all three of those crosswalks in early September.
Yes.
So if they're wearing, something more needs to be done. I'm clearly not a traffic engineer, but up in the Shores from Dunlawton South, the three lanes, one north, one south, a center turn lane, seems to work pretty well. And with the better pedestrian crossing signs, gives people more of a chance. The problem here is, you know, somebody in the left lane slows or stops. Well, somebody in the right lane wants to get around them to get ahead of them.
That's right.
You don't know who's stopping. I think the three lanes, I don't know why that might not work, but that's my two cents.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Tom Whalen, 47.
Oh, please come up front.
Tom Whalen, 4630 Harbor Village Boulevard in Harbor Village. I happen to use all those crosswalks 4, 5, 6 times a week. What is the enforcement rules on traffic and stopping for the pedestrians?
Could you use the mic? I'm sorry, they need to pick that up.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is the enforcement rules for crossing and car stopping? Because I believe the South Daytona have, you have to cross the entire street before you can go in there, or do we, is it divided by lanes? Thank you.
Yeah, so thanks for your question. So the question was, what is the enforcement rule on that? So a lot of people think that just kind of this broad pedestrians have the right of way. That is not correct. So if you read the law, the pedestrians themselves have to give the vehicle a reasonable amount of time to stop. So in other words, if there's a vehicle traveling 35 to 40 miles an hour and he's within about 150 or less feet, and it's reasonably not expected to stop in time, then a pedestrian could be charged if they're crossing that crosswalk. Now, if the pedestrian does give the vehicle enough time to stop in a reasonable amount of time and a reasonable length, and that vehicle is within a lane of them or within two lanes of them, then that driver can be charged. When we do our pedestrian crosswalk details, we will put signs out on the north end of the crosswalk and the south end of the crosswalk. The reason we do that is because we literally have created a, I think it's 170 or 180 foot buffer zone. If we see a car outside of that sign and we have a person already in the crosswalk and that car doesn't stop, that's a ticket because the person gave them a reasonable amount of time at that speed and that length to stop. So in general, pedestrians have the right of way if they've given the cars a reasonable amount of time to stop. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Are there any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you so much, and you'll come back to us when you have more specifics for us. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Excuse me, Mayor. Yeah, if I could, after the council packet went out, Mr. Milano did give me a call. His concern was actually about lighting. In his words, the lighting on South Atlantic sucks. And so he wanted to, I thought this would be a good opportunity for Chief Scales to come up and give an update on what he has been doing about the lighting situation on South Atlantic.
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of council. Yes, Mr. Milano is not the only one that thinks that the lighting on Atlantic is less than appropriate. I've been working with FPNL in Volusia County for probably about the last 3 or 4 months just to find out what can we do to make lighting conditions better in Atlantic. And I've learned way more about lighting, street lighting, than I wanted to know. Just to give you a quick update of where we are, after turtle season ended in November, I had Public Works go out in the evening and actually do a lighting audit on all along Atlantic, because I want to figure out what lights worked and what lights were missing. So we had that audit. All that information has been presented to FP&L for them to repair, and they'll do it in their own time, but at least they have that list. We also have a complete inventory of all the streetlights in town. We really didn't have that before, and we've created a map. It's a little rough, but it works. Once we get those streetlights up and running, the next goal is to basically find out where those gaps are on Atlantic. And wherever we can add a light where there's power to the pole, and it's not extremely disruptive to the residents that are adjacent to that light, we're going to place a light. But that process will be very deliberate in where we add lighting. There's been some discussion on why don't we have lights like Daytona Beach Shores. They have tons of light up and down Atlantic. Why can't we do the same thing? What I found out with them was their light poles, if you'd notice, are very short. They're about half the height of ours. So they are less impactful to the beach. And a lot of their light poles are placed in front of condos. So again, less disruptive to the beach and the sea turtles. So that solution may not be readily available to us. But all of those things we're looking at, what we're trying to do right now is get the low-hanging fruit with getting the lights that aren't working, and where we can place lights that have power on the poles, we're going to do that next. So you should see conditions improve over time as we, you know, put lights on those poles, but it's going to take some time for FPL to get that work done. So there you go.
Same question as before. Does the county do anything, or is this entirely our problem?
It really is our problem. Other parts of the county have a different arrangement. I know Ormond by the Sea, the county is much more involved in lighting there. Here, it's really our, there are lights. It's their road, but there are lights. That makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you so much. Item 13B is approval of contracts with emergency debris removal vendors. That is yours.
That's
yes.
Mine. This is just a continuation of what we started in August. As you know, in August, we awarded bids to three vendors, debris vendors. This is a first for Ponce Inlet. As long as I've been here, we have never had a contract with a debris hauler. We've always used other city contracts or county contracts. Having our own contract makes reimbursement super clean. Not that it wasn't before. There's just less room for discussion, and it's a much, much cleaner process with FEMA. And additionally, now instead of having one debris hauler, we have three to choose from. So we can use all three if we need to, or if one can't do it, we have more to choose from, which we didn't have in the past. So really, all this is this afternoon is are those contracts that are coming before you. All three of the vendors have been extremely anxious to get to work with us, and hopefully we won't need them. But if we do, we have some three very qualified, capable companies. So staff is requesting approval to move forward with those contracts.
Yeah. Chief, thank you. Actually kind of read through some of them. They look good. Yeah. They're big, your contracts. Yeah. And it was a good process to get to this point. So thank you so much. I don't have any questions on the substance.
Good.
No?
No.
Any questions? No. Seeing none, then we'll entertain a motion.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Oh.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just did want to add one thing. If the council members are experienced with our last debris hauler after Hurricane Milton was less than great. And so that was what would prompted us to start looking for this. And then now having three on board would really be fantastic. And they, on their presentations, they have promised that they would, you know, not neglect us for weeks on end, but, you know, get right to work for us. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, this is also a requirement or a condition with our participation in the FROC program. I believe that they frown upon doing piggyback contracts, mm-hmm. and so having our own direct contract is going to work in our favor.
Well, I am so appreciative. This, to me, is just another example of how efficiently a lot is done in this town. So thank you. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mike. Okay, so we need a motion with respect to the approval of the contracts.
I would like to make
I would like to make a motion. Approval of the contracts with Cirrus Environmental Services, Phillips Environment, and TFR Enterprises for emergency debris removal and disposal services, and authorize the town manager to execute all associated documents.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. And thank you again, Chief. Now we're at 13C, which is an update on fiscal year 2023 and 2024 and 24-25 town council goals. Who will be taking this?
Yes, that would be me.
Okay.
Yeah, these are the goals that the council sets for all departments. And what you have here is a status update on the goals that were set by the council for our departments back in 23-24, December of 24, actually. And then with that list is also ones that kind of dropped in our lap, so to speak. These are involved change in priorities or something that we just has to get done. Could be things that are required by the Florida legislature, any number of things. And then also each department has listed their goals for the next set of goals, or the next goals list. So we've had a lot to be proud of and accomplished over the past couple of years. That includes new programs, cultural services, applying for grants. That's a standard practice for us now. Updating technology and equipment throughout the organization, various code updates, such as for the special magistrate, filling vacant positions, and a lot more. So we're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish, but we want to be able to focus on what is important to you. So with that, we are open to suggestions. What we would like to do then, after we get your feedback, is to come back to you at next month's meeting with a new set. We'll take out everything that's complete, anything that we have since implemented as far as standard operating procedures. We deem that to be complete. You know, the goal is essentially start doing this, and once we've done that, then that moves into a different list. So we'll come back to you with an updated list with your input and ask for your approval at that time.
Well, thank you, Mike. I actually have two that I would like to suggest be added. The first one is to the fire department. I had introduced the concept of a community wellness program in November of 2024, and I received council consensus at that time for staff to look into a program that would include in-home wellness visits by our own Ponce Inlet paramedics and EMTs, and perhaps now I would actually even include the police, because they already work with people who call into the station each day to confirm their safety and health. You know, we have so many seniors that are living alone, as well as other perhaps housebound or restricted mobility, and maybe other vulnerabilities that impact their well-being. And these wellness visits provide an opportunity to ensure that medications are on hand, check for outward signs of troubling medical conditions, reassure our vulnerable residents that they do, in fact, live in a community that does care about them. I would also include now the safety within their homes, like exposed wires, tripping hazards. Are there issues with walkers if they have them? Anyway, as our medics do become familiar with the health history and status of the seniors and other vulnerable residents, the knowledge they gain may assist them when responding to emergency calls involving the same individuals. So that is something I would like to have placed on the goal for the council to consider in January. And the second one is actually a lot shorter. It's in the clerk's office. I love that we're going to have a training program for our advisory boards. I would ask that you include that the training be for the chairs as well, because they occupy a unique role. And so I would like to make sure that each chair with each of our advisory boards absolutely understand what their role is, what issues they have to address, and how to hopefully put the agenda packet together for themselves for an effective meeting. So if we could add that as well, I would appreciate that. Those were my otherwise, looks good, thank you, don't want to disrupt anything. So anyone else?
No, those are two very good ones. But
thank you, Joe.
This is a very ambitious list of goals. And I promise to work on it before the next meeting.
No, I think this list is very comprehensive of what we're doing, and if people would pay attention and read it, it would answer the question, what are we doing with our time, and why do we need so many people? There's a lot going on in this town for our size, and we do a darn nice job of getting it done. I want you to know that.
And, Mayor, I want to add on one thing, and again, I agree with your two additions. One thing I'd like to see would be, I'm not sure exactly how to do this, but the importance of training the individuals on how they're selecting their chair. It needs to be scrutinized. It needs to be looked at, because at the end of the day, every member's vote counts, but the chair leads the group. And sometimes I don't feel that the appropriate person might not be leading the group. And, you know, I've spent some time with Michael and Darren before, after a particular meeting, and I'm not going to use the exact words that Darren and I both used, but it was not held, in my opinion, very professionally. So I feel like part of that training hopefully will include selecting the right individual to lead the board.
I think that is a very, very good idea, because the selection of the chair makes all the difference in the world for the efficiency of the board itself. So that could certainly be part of the training. I'll be talking with Mr. Germano about that. So thank you. Because I think it was very helpful when we did have a training session. And we're doing so much at the Florida League level of trying to train and train and train, because what you want is the appropriate process and procedure so that the result is not questioned. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything to add? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to discuss the goals, if you've reviewed the list, if there's anything you would like to suggest? Yes, Mr. Hines, please.
Tony Hines, 4621 South Atlantic. Can we have the Atlantic Avenue crosswalks as a goal for next year? What to do with them, we need to figure out, but at least it'll be in front of people. And hopefully there won't be a hurricane. And
so you would like to see that added, if it isn't?
It's already on there.
It's already on there.
Yeah.
Yep, done. See?
Easy.
All right. Are there any other conversations with respect to the goals? Because then you have what you need, I think, for us in January.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're down to the town council. Vice Mayor Smith, what would you like to share with us?
Well, I get the first chance to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I hope if you are traveling, like I will be, you all arrive safe and come back and see us next year. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you. Joe?
I would like to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas. I hope everyone gets what they want. Not necessarily under the tree. In my case, I want a new pickup truck. But thank you for the wonderful, wonderful year of you folks attending these meetings. And as you can see, we have a dedicated group of people at this dais, and the staff is just outstanding. We are a blessed community. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Mayor, before I read what I have, I do have a question procedurally to make sure this is something that I can do. The Veterans Memorial, I know the Veterans Memorial.
Yes.
And again, I know Mark made a statement earlier about that. And I think you said that the council could comment during our
Absolutely.
Comments.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Please. Thank you.
Yes, go exactly.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. We've all heard bits and pieces of how the memorial has progressed and how much we all enjoy it, appreciate it. We honor it. We think it is a very positive, positive move. And it's part of Ponce Inlet. It's part of who we are. And I would like to ask Michael, I understand bits and pieces. We've had conversation. But we have a pretty smart staff. Mike, your background was planning. You know, we have a good law firm. We might have to go to another firm. I don't know. But I really wish we could find a way to move forward with the monument, not the landscaping, not anything else. Is there any way possible that, and if this council will support this, that we can find a way to allow them just to move forward with that? And I think we all understand the urgency of getting it done, and I'm not going to say it now. But based on what we stand up here and say, that we're a community and we're a family, this is important to a lot of folks. So I would like the support of council to see if there's any way humanly possible that we can move forward with this. Mayor, can you?
Yeah, I think that we would all agree with you that we want to find a path forward to make sure that they're able to complete this. You know, that's coming up against process. You know that. And what you're suggesting is for us to find a way that would be appropriate, legitimate.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. I think...
And I'm sorry, Mayor, not to interrupt you, but I'm very compassionate about this one for right reasons. And Michael, I know that you and Darren and the planning department have been working on things, but time is of the essence. And Mayor, we have to follow the letter of the law. I got it. I understand it. But there's always ways to get something done if we put the horsepower behind it, and it's sitting right there. And Michael knows how to get things done legally, and that's what I'm asking for. If we can just speed up the process, if possible, to get this thing.
Well, I suspect that we have Mike's commitment that he's working on it. He's doing what the best.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we recognize the situation and the urgency of it. There are steps that have to be followed. This is not the fault of the Veterans Association at all. This was all on staff. Staff missed some things in the process and permitting that have since been pointed out to us. And so we've been trying to meet. We've met with the Veterans Association several times. We've been trying to get on a path to get that fixed and get it corrected so that this is done legitimately and lawfully. And again, this is not the fault of the association. This was on staff for missing these steps. And we're trying to get it done. We think we have a path to get this done by the council's next meeting on the 15th.
Thank you.
Well, Skip, thanks for saying that, because it couldn't have been said better.
Thank you.
And I would jump on that wagon real quick.
Well, let's hope that we're able to have something in front of us at the next council meeting. Thank you. We know that you're going to do what you can, so thank you. And
I'll continue. And again, Michael, thank you. I know you're working hard on it, so that was not the intent of what I said. It's the compassion part to get it done. Okay, real quick. On November 25th, I attended a meeting with Jessica Fentress, Coastal Division Director of Volusia County, Niall Simchek, which is the Construction Activity Project Manager, Coastal Division, Volusia County, Nancy Miller, Daytona Beach Shores Mayor, and Commissioner Buddy Davenport, Florida Inland Navigation District, Volusia County. This meeting took place at the request of Jessica so I could meet with Buddy Davenport and share with him how the Town of Ponce Inlet Renourishment Project has progressed. And we talked about the effects on our residents, both positive and negative. Buddy is a very good person for us to get to know. One quick beach story. After the beaches reopened back on Monday, where you could walk north and south, I shared the story with Jocelyn, a Ponce Inlet resident, on my beach bike ride that Monday morning. I shared with her the beaches had been opened back up north and south. She smiled. On Wednesday morning, on our walk, Jocelyn stopped us to tell us how she felt about the beaches being opened back up. She stated, "My heart was blocked, but now it's open." That hit me in the heart. That tells us how much our residents have missed the beaches, how appreciative they are of getting our beaches back open, and how appreciative they are about the county and the state helping us rebuild our beaches. I'd like to request support from council. I would like to go to Volusia County Council meeting on January 8th to publicly tell them thank you for their support in getting this project done. I'd also like to thank in person Jessica and Niles because how important those two people have been in communication. So
I think that's a wonderful idea, and I know you'll do a good job for us there. So okay. Thank you, Skip.
Okay, thank you. All right, the last thing. As we close out the calendar year, and this is our last town council meeting for 2025, I want to say thank you again to all the Pond Sandlet staff for working with me and hopefully getting a better understanding of who I am and allowing me to be me. Thank you to all the Pond Sandlet employees for the job you do and always greeting me with a smile on your face. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and happy new year. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to give everyone an update on the legal status of the Florida bear hunt. You'll remember that the council had supported me going to the Fish and Wildlife Commission to testify. And so a Leon County Circuit Judge denied a request by the group Bear Warriors United for a temporary injunction to halt the 2025 bear hunt that runs from December 6th to the 28th and allows for the removal of 172 bears. Anti-hunt groups like Bear Warriors United and the Sierra Club encourage members to enter the permit lottery, securing at least 44 to 52 of the 172 permits issued, thereby reducing the harvest. No official harvest numbers for the 2025 Florida bear hunt have been publicly released as of 4 days ago. I did attend the Florida League of Cities Legislative Conference, and during the meeting, that was several weeks ago, the League established its legislative priorities for the upcoming legislative session. I will be presenting them to this council at our upcoming January meeting. And as you might expect, there was a significant focus on SB 180's harsh impact on home rule, but a favorable development is under consideration in the form of SB 840, who was a bill that was filed by Senator DeSiglia. He's the sponsor of the underlying SB 180. So they're looking to possibly remove some of the burdens, but our manager will be providing us with just a few more details on that. The other significant focus at the League was on the property tax legislation, the exemptions. Now, a study performed on behalf of the Florida League of Cities by Wichita State supports the conclusion that reducing or eliminating homestead property taxes would destabilize municipal budgets and force cuts to essential services. And if any council members or residents have questions or would like additional details, I could certainly provide it, but it's a rather significant amount of information at this time coming down for this legislation. Now, the American Flood Coalition is now focusing on the preservation of agricultural land, especially in floodplains and near river confluences that can provide space to store and disperse floodwaters, reducing damage in developed areas downstream. And as a member of the executive committee, I'm so pleased to see this approach, which incorporates farm policy, conservation, and local land use decisions being made a part of a comprehensive local flooding strategies. And these are among the newer ideas emerging from the American Flood Coalition, and I'm pleased to be part of this vital organization for all these years here. So I look forward to many of their initiatives making their way to our legislators and into the text of upcoming bills. And finally, I too would like to wish everyone a very happy and healthy holiday season. I want to thank each and every one of our staff members. I want to thank all our residents who come here, those who don't come here, but all of you play a vital role in making the town what it is. And as I always say, making us the shining pearl of Volusia County. So happy holidays to everyone. And now I will turn this over to our manager. Mike?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I wanted to announce first, in case you haven't heard, that our fire department has completed its accreditation site visit this past week. This has been a goal. Becoming accredited has been a goal of this town council for the fire department since